Every year, in the middle of January, hundreds of Memphis parents load up their minivans with tents, portable generators, and a few days' worth of provisions. Then, the stakeout begins. They drive past the Shelby County Schools Administration Building, waiting for somebody to start the line. This year it happened at 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, 5 days before the suggested arrival time. Eldridge Bobo unfolded his lawn chair near the building's entrance.
It's the tradition. It's the school system. It's had a way we've been set up and had a way we've been done for years.
By the end of the day, a tent city had sprung up behind him. Some call this Occupy Shelby County Schools. Ed Shaw explains.
Some will pull out a notepad and say, okay, I'm first, why don't you write down your second? And, you know, you honor this and I honor this, and, you know, it's an agreement between us. And every person that signs on the list becomes part of the compact.
Their list keeps tabs on who's in line for which optional program. The city has nearly 50 to choose from. But these parents, the ones determined to camp out in 20-degree weather, all have the same option in mind.
White Station Middle School.
For White Station Middle School.
For White Station Middle.
For White Station Optional School.
For White Station Middle Optional Schools.
Linda Sklar, Director of Optional Schools and Advanced Academics, attributes White Station's popularity to its good publicity.
The parents are always talking about their school. The students are always talking about their school. So they have this word of mouth, as well as they have a Facebook program.
And just to be clear, it's also Memphis's only middle school where whites and Asians combined outnumber black students. Optional, or magnet programs, have long been seen as a way to rehabilitate Tennessee's worst school district. But parents vying for programs in whiter and higher income schools expose a taboo that some say is the real source of the district's woes. Middle class parents of all races simply don't see their children as being culturally or academically compatible with a traditional educational system whose students are predominantly black and poor, a system with the state's highest dropout rate and the lowest test scores.
It's not so much that there aren't still white students within the boundaries of the city of Memphis. It's that they're not going to public school and black students are.
That's Marcus Pullman, a political science professor at Rhodes College, who wrote a history of the Memphis City school system. He and other educators note that the de facto segregation now afflicting city schools extends beyond racial lines.
The problem is it's not just that there are not enough white students. There are not enough middle and upper class students is the big problem. The trend really in public school systems like Memphis is that many of the middle class and upper class blacks have left the system as well. And what's left is not just black students, but particularly poor black students.
Pullman says that while optional and magnet programs appeal to middle class parents, they also perpetuate notions of good schools and bad schools, schools for the privileged and schools for the children left behind.
One of the continuing sore points in the whole optional school discussion by the parents whose children are in the regular schools as opposed to the optional schools is that the optional schools cream off a disproportionate share of the resources.
If our name is on that, we didn't get it.
I just got it. I don't know.
As temperatures plunged into the teens, the parents waiting outside the Shelby County Schools building hunkered down. Critics argue that this lineup favors families that can set aside work for a campout. Even the timing of the line, in the coldest month of the year, is designed to grab up ultra-motivated middle-class parents before private schools can get to them. Lolly Easley says that the lineup system rewards determined parents, whereas a full lottery system would only benefit the luckiest.
If it were lottery, that would be distressing because then it would just be chance. And I don't know what to think of that. I don't think it's good.
For some parents, there's only one reliable way to get their kids into the best schools, and that's being in the neighborhood.
I have actually bought houses twice because of school choice.
That's Marcy Lambert. Her first purchase got her daughter into Richland Elementary, the whitest and highest income school in the city's system. Her second move took more strategy, finding a sliver of neighborhood where the Richland and White Station districts overlapped so that her two children could benefit respectively.
I feel like I know a lot of people who made that school decision well after they bought their house, and I kind of was thinking with my head first before my heart when I was looking for a house.
Some parents believe that the only way to improve the system is to simply stick it out. Tom and Tracy Word put their kids into Snowden School and Central High School. Both have large black majorities. Tom says that most people can't see past the social stigmas.
Parents who are the same color as me have that fear. Oh, my son's going to get picked on, or my daughter's going to get attacked, or whatever. They think it's a jungle, and it's not.
It's a sentiment shared by Dr. Brenda Hardy. As an OBGYN, her household has options and mobility. Her daughters have attended private and public schools in and out of their zoned areas. With Snowden and Central becoming more multiracial, the schools better matched her own parenting philosophy.
I want them to live now in as diverse a world as possible. There's a big world out there, and as much experience and exposure to the different people and the different situations that are out in the world, I think it will better prepare them.
Just want to remind eighth graders, if you mess up a table, if you waste milk or you waste food on the Brandon, you waste food on the table, please make sure you come.
The classrooms at White Station Middle may separate the cream from the milk, but in the cafeteria, the school is a noisy and diverse mix of children. For its reputation of being whiter, richer, safer, and smarter, White Station is in fact half white and half minority. About 40% of its students are economically disadvantaged. Principal Sean Page says that what makes this school different from the others he's worked at as both a principal and a special education teacher isn't the number of bright students or even the diversity.
We do have the parents concerned in their child's education, concerned in what they're doing, and I think that leads to our success.
Linda Sklar says that the types of parents who'd risk getting frostbite for their children share a similar characteristic.
Very demanding. But that keeps all of us on our toes. Because when you think, well, you know, we're really doing a good job here, somebody comes up and goes, well, that's good, but why aren't you trying this?
For many city school advocates, that's a question they'd also like to ask of those concerned and motivated parents. Why not invest that cultural and intellectual capital back into the larger system or into neighborhood schools instead of stockpiling excellence within optional schools? It's a question that parents shivering in tents outside the school system are apt to ponder every year, a puzzle akin to choosing which has to come first, the chicken or the egg. For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank.